You're listening to TCRG to CEO Radio with your host, Courtney J., TCRG.
Hello and welcome to TCRG to CEO Radio. I'm your host, Courtney J., TCRG, here with my co-host, Puppy Maeve. And we are here to bring you another episode about Irish dance, teaching, business, and growth so that you can have the studio of your dreams. Today's episode is number 21, and it's all about hiring and team management, a topic that I think gets overlooked in the running of your studio, whether you're someone who's starting out and thinking you're going to do this by yourself forever, or when you're at the point where you really need help and you're not really sure where to go. So if you're joining us for the very first time, welcome to the podcast. We have an awesome Facebook group for our listeners that you can find at facebook.com/groups/TCRG2CEO. The link will be down in the show notes. And we'd love to have you join us there because we talk about each episode as it happens so that you can share feedback or your opinions on some of the things I talk about during the episode. You can also find me on Instagram, and my handle is @CourtneyJ_TCRG, and it'll also be in the show notes below if you want to just click right to it. So today's episode is all about business, obviously, and the process of hiring a new team member. And I want to go through my process with you guys, and as we get to the point where we have our Facebook group topic up, you guys can let me know if your process is different or if this was helpful for you in maybe hiring a new team member down the line. And I don't remember whether I've mentioned this on the podcast in any episode before, but I've never worked a regular job. And by regular, I mean I've never worked for someone else. I've always worked for myself. And obviously, when you work for yourself, you never go through the hiring process as a candidate. So I've never applied for a job. I've never had an interview where I'm the one looking for the job, which is kind of an interesting place to be and was certainly an interesting place for me to be when it was time for me to hire another team member because I really wasn't sure what that process was supposed to look like. And I obviously did my research and learned as much as I could about different ways you could hire candidates and how to have a good hiring process in place. But there's a beauty sometimes in not knowing what things are supposed to look like because you kind of just do what feels right and you tweak it along the way. So I certainly learned a lot my first time, and I figure there must be someone else out there who is in a similar place that I was, where you maybe never have gone through an interview process or you never have gone through a hiring process before, and that this would be a helpful topic to go over on the show. So before we get into the process itself, let me take you through some of the hires that I've made in the recent years, I guess, of running my studio. So I started out my first 2 years, really the first 2.5, so proud that I did everything myself. And everyone would ask me, you know, oh, how's the studio doing? How many students do you have? Wow, that's awesome. Do you have any help? And I'd always proudly say, nope, I do it all myself. But I got to this point in the middle of my third year where I knew that if I wanted to get the studio and the business to where I knew it could go, I was going to have to accept some outside help in some way, shape, or form. And to be honest, I wasn't even sure what I needed at that point. I had a vague idea, but I really just knew that I needed some help. And ultimately, what I decided was that some admin help would be great. Because obviously with every new student that you take on, the number of emails a week you get increases, the number of hours you need to spend assisting them in different ways increases. And obviously we love the increase in students, but it becomes a lot to take on by yourself if you're the only one kind of doing both the teaching and the admin support, which is what I was doing. And I find that it was also getting difficult to focus on growing the business or doing things outside of just the daily survival tasks of running the business. So what I mean by that is on a weekly basis, you know, you're taking attendance, you're answering emails, you're following up on this or that, you're, you know, putting together FESH information, you're checking your FESH entries, you're doing all of this stuff, but none of that is actually helping you grow your business in terms of your marketing strategy goes out the window, your, you know, 6-month growth plan goes out the window. All of these bigger picture items get lost in the day-to-day tasks, because if you're the only person doing them, you have to do them in order to survive. So those long-term projects seem to slide down your priority list. And this is where you can run into trouble, because really those tasks, the longer-term projects, are what's going to make your business sink or swim. So I knew that I needed to shift my focus back to those big picture business growth tasks and not get so lost in the day-to-day runnings of the business, which is how I decided on an admin support team member. So before you even begin your hiring process, there's a few things that you're going to want to do before you hire, before you even post an application or a job description up for people to apply to. You're going to want to determine what your needs and weaknesses are. And I kind of just talked through that a little bit with my own experience, but sometimes maybe you need an extra teacher, or maybe you need a receptionist, or maybe you need a back office person. Maybe you need a virtual assistant, somebody who can help with tasks remotely that have to do with maybe the more visual things or running your social media, whatever it is that you need help with. You want to write down some bullet points on what kind of needs you have. You could also look at it as, what are the things that you're not good at? So for me, the first thing that I put down on that list was phone calls, because I hate talking on the phone, which I know can sound kind of funny since I am recording a podcast right now. But somehow just talking on the phone has always been super uncomfortable for me. I really don't like it. Email, I will get back to you lickety-split, but if I have to call you, I'm going to put it off all day long. So even the things that maybe you enjoy doing everything and you don't really want to give up anything, start with what you're not so great at to delegate out. So following on to that, you're going to want to gain clarity on what the duties this role will perform really are, because you don't want to just have somebody walk in and go like, oh, you're running the office. Okay, bye. And have them really unclear on what it is they're supposed to be doing. So for me, I put together a list very recently for our new receptionist and someone who's taking over my original staff member's position. So I'm going to head and give you some highlights of that duty statement, because they receive this as part of their kind of onboarding package so that they're very clear what their duties are and they can make sure that they've done them. You can feel free to organize however you would like yours to read, but mine goes in a few different categories: general, as required, daily, weekly, and monthly, because some of the tasks just break out better that way. So under general tasks or duties, it's provide friendly, prompt, and reliable service to customers, assist the director, parents, and prospective customers with the administrative and front of house tasks, which is pretty, again, general and all-encompassing. So under as required, meaning you might not have to do these things every single day. You might not have to do them every single week, but you're going to do them as needed. The first one is assist with promotion of products and give prices and details to customers. Write announcement blurbs, reports, emails, office memoranda, file papers, correspondence, and documents. Provide a welcome pack to each new member. Ensure there are no less than 10 welcome packs readily available at any time. Maintain and change seasonal decorations, birthday board, and announcement flyers and posters in our waiting room. Attend and participate in meetings and trainings with our staff. Track referrals, trials, new students, and student notes. Communicate with teachers regarding any changes to class role, attendance, or enrollments. Manage our contact list. Assess the needs and capabilities of individuals through assessment in the studio. Organize apparel. Help promoting activities, sales, and campaigns within the studio. And to communicate the need to replenish office and bathroom supplies. So I know I read through that very fast, and it probably sounds like a lot. But it's, again, the things that don't come up on a daily basis, they're as needed. So, for example, my office manager now will let me know, hey, we need more paper towels, so that I go get them. And I know that sounds like such a small thing to delegate, but it's one less thing to think about. And same with making sure that we have welcome packs ready for people to come in. Because although it's a very small thing that happens, if I was to check through our welcome packs on a weekly basis, that's more mental energy that I'm expending on something that I don't need to spend energy on. And imagine someone new coming in for the first time and we don't have a welcome pack for them. We ran out. It's those types of things that make a huge difference, at least to me, in someone's perception of the studio. So having someone whose dedicated job, like their focus is on these things, is extremely helpful and beneficial to both of us. Under the daily duties or tasks, it's check and answer emails from parents and customers, the director and trial students and parents, provide efficient, consistent customer service for all clientele, general tidying and cleaning of immediate work area and maintaining general presentation of the studios, including the waiting area and windows, answer telephone inquiries from customers, attend to visitors, and assist other staff in the organization with their inquiries, operate the laptop and printer, communicate any need for maintenance, keep record of a student attendance and makeup classes, make sure that records are current, arrange appointments for customers or people working in the organization and keep records of these, including private lessons, ensure timetables are kept current and notify students and teachers of any changes, chat with clients and telephone inquiries and find out the nature of their inquiry, note all details of the phone call on our inquiry log and follow up as needed, liaise with the teaching staff, supervise office teaching staff and volunteers, and capture footage of classes from creative angles or for fun posts on social media. Again, it probably sounds like a lot, but remember that this is somebody's job at your studio, and maybe it's only 8 or 10 hours a week, but that's 8 or 10 hours that you're taking off of your own plate. And I can guarantee you that from my perspective, or at least in my studio, these tasks would not get done on a consistent basis if I was the only person doing them, especially at this point, because now I'm in year five. We have many, many more students than we had in year 2.5 when I decided I needed help. And had I waited much longer, I would have had trouble even onboarding a staff member because it would have just been overwhelming, or things would have slipped through the cracks so much that I wouldn't have even known what my own process were. So I feel like I caught myself early enough to make this work. So I hope that others out there are listening and maybe opening up to the idea of hiring some extra support, extra hands, just to help you out. So the weekly and monthly columns are much shorter. On a weekly basis, the office manager follows up with phone calls and emails with trial prospective customers and families. Most of the time, they're people that have, for lack of a better term, fallen off the face of the earth, and we're just trying to keep ringing them in. And we have a summary spreadsheet done at the end of every week. Under the monthly column, we have monthly goal setting, outline your new monthly goals on the first working day of each month, attend monthly team trainings and meetings when we have them. We try and get together all the staff members once a month just to go through everything, make sure everybody's on the same page and everyone is focusing on the same one or two things. And finally, our monthly report, which the office manager and I compile together on the last day of every month. And really, all the point of this is to show you what the duties I have assigned someone, and hopefully that will help you determine and gain clarity on what duties you might need for someone to perform, or maybe just give you an idea of how to lay it out or how thorough you could be when giving it to someone. If it was for your teachers, obviously you'd have a completely separate list. Maybe their duties are to, you know, come properly dressed for class, arrive 10 minutes early to set up the room, talk to parents after class and give little updates. Whatever your duties are going to be for this person, make sure that they are very, very clearly outlined. And then the next one is a very back-end business type of thing, but you're going to want to determine whether they're an independent contractor or an employee. And for most of us, maybe all of us, whoever we're hiring is going to be part-time, meaning we don't need to worry about benefits or things like that. And obviously, this will vary in your local area, so please make sure that you seek outside legal or accountant advice when you are going through this process, because what might be true in my area might not be true in yours. But we do have to make sure that for both tax and like Department of Labor purposes, you define whether your new hire is an independent contractor or an employee. And the simplest way that I can explain this, because it is a tricky and sometimes gray issue, so definitely do your research. An independent contractor essentially sort of sets their own hours. So for me, my office person knows that she needs to be in the evenings, but I don't dictate to her, you need to be here from 4:30 to 7:30. She'll come in and, you know, is like, hey, I can be here from 5 to 7 this week, or I can be here from 5 to 8 this week. And it's very, very flexible. And the way that independent contractors get their taxes, you can send them the relevant tax paperwork, either a 1099 or however your accountant wants you to do it, so that the correct taxes are deducted from the pay that you've already given them. And an employee, you set their hours, and like they can't decide that they're going to go away for vacation for 2 weeks like an independent contractor can. And there are definitely things to consider too, even just with, you know, you never want to worry about, you know, liabilities and different things, but it is something that you want to make sure that you're clear on and that you set the best category. I don't know what to call it. That you determine whether independent contractor or employee is most beneficial for you and your business with this new hire. And then finally, you want to make sure that you budget their hours and pay so that you know that you're in control and you can feel good about it. Because I know, I think one of the biggest pushbacks I hear to hiring a new team member is that people worry that they can't afford it. And that's a valid concern. And you always want to make sure that your business is able to support the activities and the things that you're doing, obviously. But think of it as, yes, you're paying someone X amount for the 10 hours a week that they're working, but think about what you're gaining. And I personally find a lot of joy in being able to invest in other people. My current office manager, I can't imagine not having her. And the reason I picked her was because she wanted to start her own business one day. And the reason that she's having to leave and I'm finding her a replacement is because she's leaving to start her own business in her home state. And I can't fault her for that. That's exactly why I hired her. And that's exactly why she ended up coming to me, is because she wanted to learn small business from the inside out. So again, I find a lot of joy in being able to not only give someone a job, no matter how small it might be, but also give them experience that's going to help them in some way later down the line. I love being able to hire people that aren't just looking for a paycheck. They're actually looking for experience and being able to grow their skills. So for me, that's what outweighs the fear, I guess, of being able to pay someone, because to me, that's part of the joy in it. But again, whatever works for you, you want to make sure that you just budget it out. Make sure you know exactly how many hours you're expecting them to work and what that translates to into hourly pay or whatever you're going to do, structure for that, and just make it part of your budget. So that way you're clear and you're comfortable and they're clear and they're comfortable. All right, so we're finally at the point where we're posting that we have some type of vacancy that we would like a fantastic candidate to fulfill. Now, for me, I've always posted on Indeed.com, and I've always had tremendous success with getting applications. Each time I've posted, I've gotten over 100 applicants. So that seems to work well in my area, but maybe there's a more localized version in your area, or you have something completely different. That's kind of the norm. Definitely post on whatever is the most popular or most viewed site for employment in your area. You can also post it on your website. I highly recommend doing that. just so that if people are clicking around, they might see it, they might show it to someone. Who knows? If someone's searching for something so obscure as Irish Dance Office Manager, it might come up. And I also recommend posting it to your social media channels, maybe your Facebook page, if that's where most of your people are hanging out, or your Instagram account, if that's where your people are hanging out, because you never know who's going to see it. Maybe a parent sees it and they think of their neighbor who's looking for a part-time job, or they think of, you know, the person that they nannied all those years ago and is looking for a summer job. Like, you just never know who's going to see it. And that seems to be much more shareable amongst people that are, you know, friendly with each other. So that's where I would post. You want to make sure that you post a clear job description. We already kind of talked through that earlier, making sure it's all laid out, and then clear instructions on what to do next. So maybe it's send in your resume. Maybe it's fill out this questionnaire. Maybe it's Indeed now has these little assessments already built in. So maybe you want them to take a certain assessment on Indeed as part of the process, and where you'd like them to direct inquiries about it. Do you want them to email you? Do you want them to call you? Whatever it is, make sure that you give it, you know, quite a few reads, proofread it, make sure it's true to what you want. So that way you don't have to repeat this process a million times. So my process for anyone who's interested in the position is they will find it on Indeed. It will make them submit their resume by default. So it gets sent to me by email, and I just have a folder in my inbox that they automatically go to, and then I can just open the folder to see them. I also have my own questionnaire that I created just through Google Forms. It was very easy to set up. But I find that reading resumes doesn't tell me what I want to know about someone. So I created a questionnaire that just gets me digging a little deeper into what their skills really are. And it's a lot of self-assessment and like longer answers so that people can provide examples for maybe times they've worked with a difficult customer, or where they, you know, would like to see themselves in 5 or 10 years. And those are the things that help me decide whether someone is someone I want to invest in. And there are questions about personality traits and things too, like what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses, you know, what do you struggle with, things like that, so that I can kind of assess personality wise if someone is a good fit for me to work with, because ultimately all of these people report to me. So if there's not someone that I can work with well in terms of personality, then it's just not gonna work. And then once I close for new applications, usually I leave it up for about 2 weeks, I go through all of the questionnaires, go through all the resumes, kind of screen and weed out anybody that way. And then I select my top 5 or 10 for in-person interviews. Now, the awesome thing about having an existing team member is my office manager is actively helping with the hiring process for the person who's going to replace her. And this has been a tremendous help just because it's a busy time. We're coming up to recital, and it would be a lot for me to take on to fully onboard a new person or even go through the hiring process completely by myself. So what we did this time is we both looked at the resumes and questionnaires. We both picked a top 5 to get an ultimate top 10. And then she was able to phone screen those 10 people ahead of time, so that we didn't even have to necessarily waste time having people come in for, you know, a half hour interview if they weren't going to be a good fit. So just by doing the phone screening, we were able to narrow it down to fewer but more qualified candidates. So that was something that was really helpful and something that I didn't have the luxury of the first time around. And it's definitely something I would recommend if you are at the stage where you're replacing a current team member. And now, hopefully after sitting through interviews, you find someone who's a great fit. And if not, don't be afraid to repeat the process. I know it's frustrating, but I would rather repeat the process and get an awesome person, even if it takes a little bit longer, than kind of settle for a candidate that you're kind of worried right off the bat if they're going to be a good fit. That's just for me personally. So once you have selected your candidate and you send them an offer letter and they've accepted it and you're getting them all set up as a new hire. Again, I was going to say employee, but not for everyone, they aren't going to be employees. So you set them up as a new hire, new team member. You're going to want to start training them because even if you give them that duty statement that I read before, that's not enough to just say, well, here's your job, off you go. Because if you want everything to be done well, which I'm sure all of us do, that's another big pushback I hear from hiring a new person is that, well, no one else can do it or no one else can do it as well as me. And I hear you because I'm that exact same personality type. But I am here to tell you that people can do it just as well as you and sometimes even better than you. And as long as you are clear in what you want them to do and how you want them to do it, they will perform. And a lot of that process is attributed to training them properly. So this will be another separate episode, I think, because along with training becomes the importance of having systems and documented systems. And a lot of you might be staring at your phone or like looking out your windshield if you're driving going like, what is she talking about? And by systems, I mean all the different processes that you do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. You want to have them documented, whether it's by video or voice recording or typed out and like stored somewhere. Because when you bring on a new person, let's just say you take attendance every day. I personally take attendance through a app that's connected to my studio management software. And if I just wrote down take attendance, they might pull out a clipboard and a pencil and start writing down names, which isn't how we take attendance at the studio. So you would want to document, you need to have this app. This is the login code. This is the class. Click on this and detail how you want them to take attendance. And for someone who does it every day, you're probably like, well, it's a no-brainer. But if you had to hand it over to someone else, they need to know how you want it done. And I think that's a big thing in managing expectations that we have too, because we might hold these high expectations for someone or like think, well, you know, of course, like, why didn't you do it right? But if you don't show them or tell them what your expectations are and give them a clear path on executing it to that standard, how can you be upset if someone does it wrong? So we definitely need to have another episode about systems, and that'll be coming. But for this episode, all I want you to know is that you do need to devote time to training your new hire. And this, again, is where I have a luxury the second time around, but didn't have it the first time around. My office manager now is going to train our new hire, which is awesome. That way they'll kind of get the best of both worlds. They'll get to shadow her, see what her, you know, typical week is like, then start, you know, learning how to do the different tasks under her supervision. And then my current office manager will move and she'll be on her own. Before, I was the one who was doing the training. She shadowed me. And then we kind of eventually let the leash go longer, if you will. So thumbs up. This isn't YouTube. Let us know in the Facebook group if you would like a episode solely about systems. I mean, spoiler alert, you're probably going to get one anyway. It just doesn't matter of when. So maybe you can let me know how urgently you'd like that episode so that we can make sure it comes out in this season if that's something you guys really would like. And you can let us know if this episode was helpful for you. And we will see you either on Instagram or in the Facebook group. And of course, best of luck with your hires if you're making some. Or I hope this episode was helpful in maybe you coming around to the idea of accepting some help, because it is truly a new experience for the better when you have some help. So until next week, signing out here at TCRG2 CEO Radio. Have a great week.